AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear headed, full of energy and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop once a day before breakfast and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
When I clock out of the hospital at 6 p.m., I'm not done for the night. That's when Gamer Nurse 40 clocks in, and she's got orcs to slay. Sure, I'm playing a 13-year-old in Scranton, but he's a level 53 mage with a filthy mouth, so I need to stay on top of my game. What'd you call me? That's when I crack open a Heineken 00. Zero alcohol, but just as refreshing. So I can focus on stealing his gold before his mom tells him it's bedtime. Take that, kids.
Heineken 00. 0.0% alcohol. Now you can. Must be 21 plus to purchase. Enjoy responsibly.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
How personalized can a financial plan be when it's created by one of those robo-advisors?
Plugging in standard algorithm to calculate insurance need and future wealth of random human client.
Robots don't know you. We do. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, getting to know you always comes first. Together, we'll create a financial plan based on your specific goals. Find a local Farm Bureau advisor at fbfs.com/protect. It's your future. Let's protect it.
Podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. It's the fighting.
Cock! Come on, Tottenham!
Hello and welcome to episode 44, season 10 of the Fighting Cock podcast. Today I'm joined on the line by Ricky. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, right, mate, not too bad.
Is it true because, like, Spurs are shit and you always take it badly?
No, I'm all right, actually. I'm all right. For me, I kind of had this City game as a gimme, really, because I mean, I can't even remember what their winning streak was. Was it at 14 in a row, 13 in a row? Yeah, I can't even remember. And then also, Mourinho, or anyone, is like, when you beat teams like that, you have to be, like, everyone has to be perfect. Everyone. And the way we're playing at the moment, not everybody is going to be perfect. So,
indeed,
I expected it.
Yeah, and LOT, how you doing, mate?
I'm good, I'm good.
T is a man who's never thrown a porno away in his entire life, even from age 14. The shittiest sort of disgusting little brown rag that he used to throw around his bedroom when he was a kid. He's never thrown it away. He keeps it in a shoebox under the bed. His missus can't look in there.
It's like Alan Partridge's drawer, isn't it, in his hotel room? Bangkok Trick Boys.
It's like Pulp. I don't know. I mean, you're into what you're into, but the Pulp Fiction. You know when John Travolta opens up the case and it's just gold. In T's life, it's just a mound of very average pornography. We're also joined by Lee Brown. I won't make any crude jokes about you, Lee. Because I don't know you as well as the other boys. I'm sure they're going to get over it. How are you doing, Lee?
Good, thank you. Yeah, just trying to basically accept what's going on at the moment, and so I don't end up with a heart attack or something.
Indeed. Well, you're actually doing that really well, because the Twitter thread that you posted after the Man City game is part of the reason why you're on the Fighting Cock, because we want to talk through some of your ideas and how you're reconciling what it is to be Spurs at the moment and where we should all be as fans. And we just thought there's some interesting topics there to chat through, so we're going to do that. But before we do, we've got to preview the Fighting Cock quiz, because Jimmy, as everybody who's listened to recent podcasts will know, he's just smashing people up, he's just serving up wallops, and
he's a brilliant villain.
He's not even that good, is he, T? Like, deep down, he's not that good.
He kept his nerve. He kept his nerve, and I didn't, so...
Yeah, but he isn't that good. He isn't that good, is what we're saying. He's not... He ain't great.
He's beatable.
He seems like he's on a lucky run. It's almost like Vardy on that 11 goal... Like, scoring 11 times on the bounce, or Man City winning 14 times on the bounce. There's an element of luck in all of that. And I think that Jimmy...
Absolutely.
He's been lucky. But he has slapped aside every person we put in front of him, including our very own Flonius Filth and Alex from Bristol. And what are known now in the folklore of the world's most difficult Tottenham Hotspur quiz as the dogs from Nuneaton. But we do. So Jimmy's having a week off because he couldn't make it this week. And usually we'd say, do you know what? If you can't make it, you're not in it. But he is the winner. We need someone to take him out. So Jimmy's allowed a bye, which means we've got an opportunity for two other people to come in. And this week we have on the line Connor. Let's bring him in. Connor, if you unmute yourself.
What's going on?
Yeah, don't come in here all cocky like that. we're happy to have you, but can I just... There's two things. One thing that your mate sent in to us that said that you were bricking it after being accepted as a contestant on the Fighting Cock World's Hardest, Most Difficult... I've got to think of a better name for this. The most difficult Tottenham Hotspur quiz. But you did send me... You sent me this.
Mm-hmm.
Right, do you remember what you sent?
I do, yeah, I remember it well.
So, Flav, I've asked nicely, and now I'm outraged. The nepotism on the pod has become a joke. Alex and T letting themselves down, then every other nan's uncle's cousin from Nuneaton or bumfuck nowhere, wasting all of our time. Let me have a go at Jimmy, and I'll show you he's no more regal than my dog. And there are other bits there that I won't repeat. I won't repeat because it could get us into unnecessarily hot water. you have turned up. You do think you can beat Jimmy. Jimmy isn't here. You're supposed to have
about that.
Yeah, I mean, get through this, and you know, you'll definitely face him next week. But your opponent thus far hasn't shown, and that's not to say he won't show, because he has the next 20 minutes to show. But generally, people turn up at the right time to get their sound checks and, you know, to pay respect to a certain degree. But yeah, he's not turned up. So what? Hold on a second. Someone's just popped in. Hello, Luke.
He's having real Discord issues. Sorry, guys. I'm here now.
All right, wonderful. Okay, so we're in the middle of the show, Luke. But we have just given your opponent a worthy sort of introduction, and he's just disappointed that you're not Jimmy.
Right. Well, that's fair enough. Jimmy does come with a big rap, doesn't he? And I'm a nobody.
I've got no beef with you, Luke, mate. It's just business.
Yeah, no. I understand that.
Connor, I think... Well, Connor insulted Jimmy, but you called Jimmy a bitch.
Oh.
I think we'll get on, Luke. Yeah. I think we'll get on.
Well, I had to get your attention, and I spoke from the heart, because I think he is a bitch.
Oh, well. I'll tell you what you've got to do. You've got to prove that you can, Luke, you've got to prove that you can beat Connor. And we'll do that in about half hour, because we've got some stuff to talk through. And so I'm just going to say goodbye to you both. You can stay on camera if you like. It's not a problem. I'm going to mute you. And then we'll come back to you very shortly. All right. Let's do it. Lee, let's talk about your thread on Twitter just after the game, because I think for a lot of Spurs fans, it's been very difficult to just sort of reconcile and just be a Spurs fan and just enjoy what we're enjoying and take defeats as they come, as all fans of all clubs should do. But it's different for Spurs at the moment, because either you hate Jose Mourinho or you don't, or you're defensive of him, or there's problems at the club that are bigger than Jose Mourinho. What prompted you to put together those thoughts that you did on Twitter, Lee?
To be honest, I've done all of that as well. So I've been Jose in, Jose out, players in, players out, Enoch in, Enoch out, and been flip-flopping around as well. But it's I think it's one of those things where I just kind of sat down, I thought, I need to contextualise all this, because for my own sanity, to try and put everything into perspective. And Twitter can be a bit of a sort of an echo chamber for all of these noises. And really, I suppose the thrust of the thread was, we've got to stop looking for just single scapegoats. It isn't really addressing the deeper issues. The whole thing is a bit of a paradox, really. You know, there aren't any binary solutions to this conundrum. I think, you know, and that's not to try and exonerate anyone in particular, but what we're looking for, is that how the blame should be really shared out.
Yeah, so there's
a number. Yeah. Well, to be honest, amongst everybody, I mean, it starts from the top and goes down. So one of the things I was suggesting in that thread was that there was a failure on the part of the board to look at the playing side because of the need to focus on the development of the infrastructure. Those 512 days with no buyers, you're going to reap what you sow there.
Yeah.
But just saying, you know, insert player manager here, get out of my club all the time, wasn't addressing the issue. And this is a cycle that we've had for years and years and years. And you look at Enoch and what they've done, the single-mindedness in getting this training facilities up and then the stadium, it's incredibly impressive. But it's come at a cost. And I mean, I'm sure knew this, we accepted it, but now we're playing catch-up. And in that period, Poch was the perfect fit. I mean, Levy struck gold when he found Poch. I don't think he realised what he'd got. But then Poch was a player coach and was able to make that collective greater than the sum of its parts. And he quickly worked out with what he had to get him to work harder and press harder. That was it brought that from Southampton, but that was the sort of MO that he had. But that does have a ceiling. And obviously, you know, you get to a point where that message sort of wears off. And by the end, something obviously had to change. But I don't. But my point was, I suppose, just replacing him with a winner, I think that misunderstood the situation. Mm. There were still turds to be polished. And at the moment, some of them were still brick hard and white. but that transition still isn't over, in my opinion. And possibly the solution for this might have been to get more mouldable players if the budget was the issue. But you don't, and Mourinho might have been the issue or the answer, I suppose, if we were the finished article. But I think the club has got a difficult dilemma now. The players aren't uncoachable, but this manager isn't a turd polisher that we need for them, you know. Therefore, if we're going to persist with Jose, you know, whatever you think of the style and the substance of his play, most of us find it difficult, but would stomach it if we're going to win. But if we're going to persist with someone like that, we're going to have to back him like we've never backed any other manager. And my suspicion, again, cutting through the thrust of this thread, was that, or fear, was that Jose was the cheaper option. Cheaper than the overhaul. And the gamble was, I suppose, he could turn that lot into winners. But, you know, I think he probably thought he could get another tune out of them. But, maybe even Jose went into the interview and promised.
Yeah, because he did come into the club, didn't he? He did come into the club and said he's completely happy with the squad. Yeah. So I just want to ask you, in terms of this not being a binary issue, that there isn't a single sort of element that's responsible, and it isn't necessarily Daniel Levy or Jose Mourinho, who will inevitably get the blame when this inevitably doesn't work out, right? Mm-hmm. And it'll be one man that needs to get a chop, because it's the easiest transition to make, isn't it? You want to change things, chop the manager.
But it'll work short term, won't it? You know?
Yeah, it does. It does work short term. But I just want to get T's opinion on whether or not something is binary in terms of, you know, creating a new element of success or how you fix a problem. What are the issues, I guess, T, in your understanding?
I think it just all stems from the rebuild that Potts famously talked about before his departure. And, you know, as Lee said, I think we took a bit of a shortcut with Mourinho. He thought maybe have maybe a last dance, so to speak, with these players. And it probably appears now that there's not a last dance in them. So do you pay that money to pay out Mourinho's contract and start again? Or do you just persist with Mourinho and get this unicorn of a centre back that we're looking for that will solve everything? That's where we are now.
Rick, what do you make? If you had to blame one, if it was binary and you had to blame one person, if it was Jose Mourinho, is it Daniel Levy or was it the squad? Where would you sort of hedge? Where would you place your bets on being the biggest problem?
Christ, I would probably say at the moment, I'd probably go with the squad, because I still think a lot of it is left over from when Potts was there, and I think people have just given themselves to the club, given the rule, and I think some people need a new challenge, and it doesn't matter if you get so people have been there for so long, you get so comfortable there, and it doesn't matter who you bring in, you always know where you're going to sit in the canteen. You're always going to know like where you're going to be sitting in the change room. You always know that there's just different things that aren't going to motivate you. And it doesn't matter what manager you kind of bring in. And I think with Mourinho and everything that he comes with, the trophies and stuff, when he's in the changing room and he, you know, as far as I'm aware, he's not that type of coach where he's going to put his arm around you and he's going to, you know, chuck you under the bus. He's going to be like proper, like flush you out, and like he'll make you want to stand up and see how much of a, you know, a man that you are. And I just think people are comfortable at Tottenham. They've been there a long time. I'm going to sound so corporate when I say this, but Flav, there's just so many moving parts, man. So many moving parts.
Well, listen.
Because like with the stadium rebuild, the training centre, Poch coming in, and like it's not been stadium or you know, that's not fluctuating, whether we've had late overrunning of when it's been built, how much money's being pumped into it and stuff like that. And the same with the training centre and then the manager not getting any transfers and then getting a few transfers and then trying to integrate them with the squad and stuff like that. But it's not been like 3 years of stability with the stadium and training centre and stuff like that. And I just think if a manager was left just to focus on the squad and that was it, then maybe we might be things might be a bit more stable and not as fluctuating as they are at the moment.
Lee, you mentioned this being a massively transitional period that stemmed from a couple of seasons towards the end of, or maybe even as a part of the Pochettino involvement at Spurs, but at some point in Pochettino's reign, it became clear that Spurs were in massive transition. And we saw that in the Champions League final when that after we lost it, whereas Liverpool recovered after they lost it, we didn't, we fell apart. So there was a moment under Pochettino's tenureship where investment in the squad was needed, but we were on this other journey of investing in other aspects of the football club. So in your opinion, when did the transition start in earnest, and how long do we have to go?
I mean, we should, you know, COVID isn't a feared, obviously, and we should be in a better position if it wasn't for that. But there have been key points where you could point the finger at the board, which, you know, they have to take, like I say, is everyone's got to take their fair share of the blame here. And really, we should have struck while the iron was hot. I mean, there was no better time after that final, the Champions League final, to get the calibre of player we needed. Or that run where we had, where we nearly won the league. We were chasing Leicester down. You know, we looked like we were on the cusp. It's been the same so many times over the years. We'll be knocking on that door. We're so close. And I think some of the frustrations of fans over the time is because of that. You know, because we're so tantalizingly close to doing so and just being in that position where we now could attract that sort of, but we'd never quite get over there. So it's not just a manager not getting over the line. The club isn't getting over the line for some ways, and that whole process, right? If you took the helicopter view of it all, in terms of looking at all those training facilities, there was a lot of things to put in place, a lot of money to gather, a lot of people to get together to be able to make that project. So I can completely understand why their focus hasn't been on that. But we have got to take into, you know, obviously fans are emotional. We don't really care about that so much. That's about whatever reason they wanted that to happen. But ideally, you know, we needed to have struck when the iron was hot. And I think also on another level here as well, Poch was the victim of his own success. Now I think the club is a victim of how he overachieved with all of those players.
So what do you make of the point that you made, which was we're never in a better position to come good? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, I'm thinking like being hopeful and looking forward. We've got everything there now. There shouldn't be any excuses. So as we come out of all of this, the club now has got no excuses because the whole infrastructure, whatever manager it is, everything is there. So really, we should be hopeful to take this forward. We've been like a phoenix, haven't we, for years. We've been hoping that phoenix is going to, you know, rise from the ashes, and that's one of the things that that we've always clung on to, yeah. And perhaps other people have taken the piss out of, but we do, you know, we it's there, the fan base is there, the infrastructure there, so there's a lot to be hopeful for. We just, our anxieties, I suppose, are kind of born out of the fact that we've just always missed that boat when we should have jumped on it. And now is the time for them to do it. We've got to, you know, it's a crucial point. But we say, but we've been saying that for a while, I know, but we really are at a key point, I think.
T, do you think that we're in a position for success now? Because I remember us starting this podcast 10 years ago thinking, like, surely it's coming soon. Like, we're on the back of 2010/11 Champions League run. Bale's coming to the fore. We're beating Manchester City at the Etihad to go through. We're primed, surely. Harry Redknapp as a tenure at Tottenham. And it hasn't happened. Nothing's happened, really. We've had a fantastic feeling of having a manager that we love and play great football. We've had a nearly run in a semi-final in the FA Cup and a Champions League final, which none of us could ever dream of. But over 10 years, it's not. That's not nearly, really. That's not what we think. You know, if you think about the next 10 years of our football club, which would be, what, 50 years since? 10 years from now would be 40 years since we won the FA Cup. 40 years if we go another 10 years without winning it. Like, is what needs to happen now? What are you hopeful in the next 10 years?
I mean, to steal a phrase that Ricky said earlier on, there's so many moving parts. You know, we've got the stadium, we've got a decent academy, we've got players who, I mean, I'm not blaming Mourinho's problems on all on the players, but there are a bunch of players who I think we'd all happily see the back of. And I think the two windows where we started, no one is starting to bite us in the arse a bit now. And, you know, I felt like success was pretty close. When we were top of the league back in December, we were kind of, maybe not so much dreaming of winning the league, but dreaming that success is going to come our way, whether it was the Europa League, which we'd qualify for the next stage of, if we had an FA Cup run where we'd drawn Marines. So I thought, well, look, you know, this could be our year. We have started off with a good fixture. And then less than two months on, talking about having a new manager and starting all over again. But things changed pretty quickly. Mentioned Poch overachieving, but Redknapp did too. I don't think anyone expected him to get Champions League in the second season.
No.
And us qualifying for the Champions League was 3-4 years in the making. You know, we had Lasagna Gate, you know, and, you know, a bunch of other, you know, near misses getting the Champions League. We got to the Champions League. We got to the quarterfinals. We wanted to taste it again. AVB failed. Other people failed. And then Poch got us a double quick time. So it's almost like sometimes, you
going
know.
Back to that point,
you
were making about where we were at with Redknapp. There was a point there as well, wasn't there? Where we just needed those couple of players. And we really, really were so close then as well.
You know? We got the players. Yeah, we got them. Yeah. We got them, Saha and Nelson. We got the players. They just didn't deliver.
Yeah. No, they didn't.
They did not deliver, did they? Jake Louis Saha especially, see?
Yes. Bastard.
All right, we're going to move on, Lee, mate. That honestly, when I read the thread, and it's so difficult when you're reading Twitter, and I don't do it, actually. I really don't, because I just can't be fucked on... I get why people are frustrated, but I can't be fucked to read their frustration, because it does impact you. Do you know what I mean? After Spurs get slapped by Manchester City, the last thing you want to read is everyone else's opinion about that game. The good thing about the podcast is, like, 2 days later, you can choose to listen to it or not. It's up to you. But if you're flicking on Twitter, and obviously for all of us, 80%, 90% of the people we follow are Tottenham, the last thing I want to read is everyone else's opinion on why Spurs are shit. It's exhausting. So it's quite refreshing to read what you wrote, Lee, and say, actually, do you know what? The problems we're having ain't about Jose Mourinho specifically. They're not about Steven Bergwijn not being the greatest player that we hoped he'd be. It's not about Gareth Bale coming on holiday and making a comfortable scenario for him. But it's all of those things and also none of them. And it was refreshing to read, Lee. That's all I'd say about it.
Ah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, football is, you know, it's emotional and it you know, we all go away. It ruins our week. But you've also have to try at some point to take a back step and be objective. And I think that's easier said than done. But I think I was just at a point where I thought, I need to put all this into context because it's, you know, there was a point just not long after Christmas where I was just the anger was building up all the time. And I was just thinking, yeah, it's not one week it's this player, next week it's the manager. And it's not one thing. It's everything. So I think that's why. But yeah, thank you for getting me on just to articulate that.
No worries. We're gonna go through some points of the Man City game. Then we've got some odds to talk about, and then we've got the big quiz. T, was your phone ringing? Out of all of us, I could look at your face and I could see you're looking down. Rick, was it you?
No, mate.
Was it you, Lee?
It's my dad, right. Trying to contact me.
It's fine. It's just I was looking at T and I was like looking at his face because when we've been recording, like T, like when T's doing something that's sort of like it's not even his fault, but he sort of something's happened where he's disrupted something and his eyes go big and they didn't go big this time. I thought he'd be learning from it and looking down. Another question we've got because we are looking at each other on webcam. T, you got like a little training jersey under that top?
Yeah, but I'm not showing it off.
No, show it off. Go on, get him out.
I've got issues with my belly, so no.
What do you mean you've got issues with your belly? Your belly's beautiful.
I can't even see your belly.
There it is. Show us your belly now.
Never.
Never say never.
I want it lopped off.
Because what?
Bit of liposuction, mate. Sort me out.
Mate, don't do that. Don't do that because the minute this lockdown is over, when we meet up in wherever we're going to meet up, I want a big hug and I don't want to be able to get my arms around your back. That's how big I want your belly to be.
I'll work on that, mate.
All right, good. Don't like, there's no body shaming on this podcast. You'd be beautiful, T. You are beautiful. Manchester City game. We won't go into the details of here, but we have got some interesting questions. We'll run through these. AJK says, do you have a method of processing defeats if you can't pod with one another? Rick. How are you processing the defeats at the moment?
It's pretty tough. I mean,
lash out at the kids or?
No. Past all that now. They're old. So like in their younger years, I used to deck them.
Yeah, they've got thick skin now. They've become resilient. Good head movement.
So the way I've been processing it is. You just have to believe in and try and grab the positivity around it. And yeah, you're going to be like, oh, what's fucking positive out of this? And I think kind of it's really hard to not look over your shoulder and see that the Gooners won at the weekend. And you're thinking, fucking hell, are they going to be? You could get caught up with all of this shit, man. And I think for me, especially with this weekend, like I said earlier, you know, City is a free hit, man. We ain't going to win up there. The way they're playing at the moment and the way we are at the moment, it's never going to happen. And I think as well, like going forward for the rest of the season, I think we already know that it keeps coming up over and over again about individual errors. And that's not going to change by the time we get to the end of the season. They're not suddenly going to get ironed out. It's going to be, we're going to have to buy some players, some more tactical changes and stuff. But I am seeing light. I am seeing where we were playing a bit more, where we were playing counter-attacking football against City, we were a bit more positive when we were trying to get forward. And it has happened in other games as well. And then moving Tanguy back into the two and seeing Lamela, his last few games, he's been great and he's been driving the team forward. And then we've got Dele to come back and Gio to come back. And, you know, there's bits and pieces where if all the stars align, then we will be, back to being brilliant. And the thing is, I can't sit here and just think, switch on and just zone out for 90 minutes. Oh, we're just going to get decked again because what's the point, man? Like, it's just soul destroying. So there are things that I can see that are positive and to look forward to.
So that's what you're holding on to, the positive.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It's not a bad way to live your life. It really isn't. You know what I mean? Like, just if you just focus on the little positives, how your life might change. in small positive moments in the future so you feel more positive. I'm with you, Rick. I think that's a better way to be. Yeah. Because you can't control this shit.
No, and like if I'm looking at the table, I'm not sitting here and I'm being real and I can't quite remember the table. But if we win our game in hand, we're a point behind Liverpool, maybe.
Not a great barometer, but
no. But and they're currently fourth. So at the moment, with this mad season, the pandemic, Everton losing at home to Fulham 2-0. You know, there are results that go awry, and there are times where you can build momentum, and there are different things that can happen. And I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, we're only 3 points behind, blah, blah, blah. You know, top four is a dead cert. But it's not impossible. If we put a couple of games together and the players come back that are injured and we're a bit more attacking and we're a bit more, I don't know, positive. And I just think it's not a million miles away, man. It isn't. We're not dead and buried. We're still fighting. So that's all I can hold on to at the moment.
If all else fails, lash out at the kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you've always.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so Tom Middleton, he says the scene of Sanchez trying, failing, and flailing and face planting the deck. What moment in your life best compares to that? I'm not sure about that, but before we deep delve into our lives' most embarrassing moments, is Sanchez a member of the side, Lee, that you think should be playing? You know, I know we don't have a massive amount of options at centre back.
Massive amount of options now, and I sometimes nickname him 50p because he's, they never know which way the ball's going to go when it hits his head.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I mean, again, it's, we're scapegoating certain players. He got turned inside out, but he threw himself at that to try and save that. And I'm, okay, he's not, maybe he isn't as good as he can be, maybe he needs a different type of manager to coach him, but I'm loath to kind of throw him under the bus, I've got to say. I think I think there's the whole build-up to that isn't just his fault,
there were multiple times where he actually made properly last-ditch sort of challenges in the first half, especially. He made two blocks that no one talks about. They just look
and at two goals the previous match as well. And there's a player there. I just don't know whether we might be the right club for him. I don't know. But then again, he could easily turn it around. But is this manager the one to bring it out on him? I don't know. He doesn't seem a player's coach. Yeah, it's a complex one.
No, fair enough. John Burtles asks two questions. Spurs are giving a sniff at Nagelsmann or Rodgers, who will move in mid-season, and an immediate decision is needed whether you pull the trigger on Jose and wave goodbye to £25 million in payouts. What would you do, and what does Levy do? So if you had the choice of Nagelsmann or Rodgers, what would you do, and what would Daniel Levy do right now?
Probably I'll stick with Mourinho.
No.
I think Levy has.
Really? Two. Wow. Go on.
I think Levy will too, because Levy's kind of staked his legacy on getting Mourinho in. I wouldn't sack him, man. I think he's got to see the season out. I think that I don't want to say he deserves our loyalty, because that's just not true, is it, really? But I think he's got to see the season out.
But
it'd take an extreme few events for him to be binned mid-season, but I think he should see it out.
All right, Ricky, I've got to throw that to you as well. If you had the option of Nagelsmann or Rodgers right now, we'd lose £25 million in payouts. Actually, it'd be more than that, because you have to pay up Leipzig. It'd more likely be £45 million. What would you do?
Right, pull the trigger right this second.
Pull the trigger right now, £45 million down that we don't have to spend in the summer. But you get Nagelsmann or Rodgers.
I'd probably do what T said and stick with Mourinho. But like Nagelsmann, I'm hearing like loads of good stuff about him.
Read
a few bits. The thing that worries me is he's like 31 years old.
He's younger than
Loris.
He's younger than Loris.
If he comes into your changing room, and he says, like, mate, I need you to stay back. Shut up, mate. You're a child.
Maybe they don't think, maybe they don't think like you. Maybe they don't think like you. I'll chiv you.
Yeah, I know.
Which but, one? Which Spurs player would most likely say, I'll chiv you to Nagelsmann within a week of him joining?
I don't know, actually. Yeah, and like Lamella's got those eyes, isn't he? Those staring eyes, like he's.
Mate,
just
Lamella is a fucking psycho. I genuinely believe he's mad. He's mental. So you wouldn't like just, you know, if we had the option, given the fact that Rodgers might get the opportunity elsewhere. I think Rodgers most likely would like to come to Tottenham. Nagelsmann could go anywhere. You know, his reputation is absolutely flying.
But I don't think not at the moment, because what I've just said about the positivity and stuff like that, I still... there's still hope, mate. There is still hope. And I'm not saying he's going to bring in riches of trophies and we're going to finish fucking first or whatever, but I still have hope and trust in Jose, personally.
Well, there isn't a better time to get a little bit of confidence in the side than playing Wolfsburger. Genuinely, I'm not joking. Like, I know we've been doing a podcast for 10 years. I've forged a career out of making media around football, and I didn't know there was a Wolfsburger before we got drawn against them. I had no idea this club existed, which is...
No, same.
Is that true? T, did you know they existed? To be honest.
No.
Lee, did you know? Be honest.
No.
Fuck, see, no. This is what I'm talking about. I'm not an idiot. I'm not just bumbling my way through this.
I'm not an idiot.
I'm not an idiot. We've got to play Wolfsburger, which would have been a little bit less sort of complicated than if we were playing Wolfsburg of the Bundesliga. But William Hill have us 4-9 to win on the night, or 1-20 to qualify outright. Is there? It's just one tie, right? One game.
That right? No, there's two in it. Two.
They are doing two.
Yeah.
Why don't they just do one? Literally at this level.
Spoiler.
Move to Budapest, isn't it?
Yeah.
Budapest. I think we could make Budapest our what do you call it? Like a cauldron. We can make it a Tottenham sanctuary. We go to Budapest and serve up a wallop. To go through on the night, 1-20. If you're looking for a more generous price on Spurs, then with 2-1 to win on both teams scoring, you think we can sort of go into this game without worrying about conceding? Boys, like, what are you feeling going into this game against Wolfsburger? We could do with an easier tie, given the fact what we've gone through. T, what do you make of it?
Yeah, it's a massive game now, made even bigger by the FA Cup exit. And... you know, Ricky spoke about positivity. I think Gareth Bale's appearance on Saturday gave us reason to be cheerful, you know, in the cameo that he had. And you'd imagine that Bale would start, and he'd definitely be heavily motivated.
Is he good now? Is he good, Bale? Is he good? Is he back? Is he?
Yeah, he's back, mate.
He's back, isn't he? He's back. See, this is what we've been waiting for.
He had him on skates, mate. You see that little movie he did?
Honestly,
he looked
one of the best players I've ever seen. In that 13 minutes he played for Spurs. The fact is,
2013 Bell.
Indeed, better, if anything, better. Boys, he's back. Like, I know we talked about being philosophical and whose fault is it. Doesn't matter anymore because Gareth Bale's back and he's going to save our season based on the 30 minutes I saw against Manchester City.
It's going to save our souls.
Totally agree.
Rick, would you put any money on Spurs going forward? If you were down to your last £10, would you put money on Spurs going through against Wolfsburg?
Yes, I would.
You would? You're confident?
I am confident. And I think these are... it's going to be tough. And they are going to be... they're going to be up for it because they're going to take
idea whether they're going to be... None of us have any idea whether Wolfsburg are going to be up for it. We don't know who they are.
Up against the famous Tottenham Hotspur. Yeah, they will, mate. I think so. But now, they're not going to be in their own gaff, are they? They're going to be flown over to Budapest. So it's even Stevens, pal, and you're going to get slapped up. That's what I say.
That's the kind of previews you get on the Fighting Cup. 100%. Yeah. Lee, I'm not going to ask you if you know any more about Wolfsburg, but do you have any trepidation going to this knowing, like, right now?
If we don't smash these up, I am going full binary and I'm Jose out.
Yeah, I think we all will. Life don't beat them. Like.
These aren't even the best team in Austria.
Well, can I just take you back to when we got knocked out by Ghent over two legs? Because they were like the sixth best team. We had a lad who was like an expert in Belgian football. And he said there is absolutely no chance that we go out of this tie. And lo and behold, we were at Wembley, all of us like fucking idiots, watching Spurs get knocked out in the Europa League after being in the Champions League by Ghent. So, Lee, there is a chance.
I'm refusing. I'm going to get myself one of those self-flagellation whips with Spurs on each side.
Indeed. Spurs are still joint favourites of William Hill to win it outright. Joint favourites with Manchester United, although we were favourites previously. 6-1, Spurs or Man United to win this. If it was a straight run between the two of us, I would fancy us, even if we sort of fuck it up this domestically with Jose Mourinho at the helm. You know, he's done it only a couple of years ago. The football hasn't changed so much in 2 years. Like, I get it, like, he wasn't the manager he was when he was at Inter Milan or Real Madrid or Chelsea. But football isn't that different now to where it was when he won the Europa League with Manchester United sort of 3 years ago. So I still, you know, I think we are, you know, in with a shout, like, of being favourites. Milan 9-1 with William Hill. I think they're second in the Serie A at the moment. And then there's Napoli and Arsenal at 10-1 and Leicester at 12-1, if you fancy those odds. I'll tell you what, though. Jose Mourinho is now favourite to... Klopp is favourite to be next sacked or let go with William Hill.
Didn't he come out earlier on today, though, in his press conference and deny all that?
But Lee, I'm not going to argue with the bookies. They usually get it right. He did come out and say it was all bollocks. So you might not want to put the money on with William Hill there. But you might, if you hate Jose Mourinho and you want him out of your football club, make some money on Jose Mourinho as second favourite at 5-2. Can you see that happening? Like T, you've said that Lee, you've got to stick with him. Rick, you've said you've got to put, you know, your faith in him, that if we get all the players back, and there have been moments of light where we can hold on to those things. Lee, can you see a world where we sack Jose Mourinho in the next month, the next couple of weeks?
I was contemplating it. I was just thinking, if we lose to City, lose to West Ham, I could see it. But no, the more I think about it, it's just not going to happen. Going to be a sort of full house here with the other two, that I think he needs to stay really to the end of the season. It's like putting a cake in the oven and, you know, not seeing how it turns out, really. You've got to see it through. You've got to give him the players that he wants and see what happens. And then if that doesn't work out, get shot as soon as possible. I mean, none of us particularly like the style, as I was saying, but we'll suck it up if it wins things.
Yeah. And that's it. I think he's got those two gambits, hasn't he? He's got the League Cup final and he's got the Europa League. And I think probably Daniel Levy, the most sensible thing would be to give him the opportunity. And if people ask Daniel Levy why he waited too long to sack him, he might say, well, we're in the Europa League as favourites and we're in the League Cup final. And how can I sack a manager who's got us to those positions this season? And you're probably right. The pragmatist in all of us might say that would be the best thing to do. It's just the idea of someone like Nagelsmann, who has a fancy foreign name, and Brendan Rodgers, who's done bits for Liverpool and Swansea, and has now done stuff for Leicester and Celtic. It just feels like a good opportunity there, but it's an expensive gamble. And every new manager is a gamble. And it goes back to what you were saying, Lee, where there is no single person who's responsible for whatever happens at a football club. And whenever there's success, it's based on a number of moving parts, as you said, Rick. It's like you need everything to come together. You need all the ingredients in the pie to be cooked correctly, and it isn't based on one person's role. You know, so maybe you're right. Maybe Jose Mourinho, regardless of what happens, needs to be given those opportunities in cup competitions to see what happens. Probably is the best.
Can you imagine if we finish ninth and we win the Europa League and we qualify for the Champions League?
All day. Take it all day. Imagine the glory. Not only, like, it's double whammy, isn't it? Glory in Europa League and Champions League football when you finish ninth.
that'd be amazing.
That'd be better than just finishing fourth comfortably, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I'd love that. Would you take finishing fourth comfortably or finishing ninth, having the season we're having, but win the Europa League?
Europa League, man. I'm dying for trophies.
Indeed.
Absolutely dying for them.
William Mill said actually that they quoted only that 75% to 80% chance that Jose Mourinho would see out the season. So they're saying that it's pretty much done and dusted. Although a couple of games football, you know what it's like. Shit can go tits up. Fans can just send William Hill a bespoke bet by tweeting at William Hill using the hashtag #YourOdds, and they'll give you a price on whatever's happening. So if you come up with an odd that you fancy, then tweet William Hill with the hashtag #YourOdds, and they'll be able to sort you out. Right, boys, it's time. It is absolutely time. We've got to bring the boys back. It's quiz time. Let's unmute them. Connor, Luke.
Hello.
Are you all right?
Hi, Sam. To be honest, I've got so nervous now, I barely know my own name, let alone answering any of these questions right.
Can I just ask what your full name is, please?
It's Luke de Pledge.
Luke de Pledge. What, have you heard a better surname than that in the history of surnames? Luke de Pledge. Luke, I...
Thank you.
Well, you didn't. I mean, it's your mum and dad that should be thanking you. Like, you didn't, you know, it's just you were given the name, weren't you? But I'm just saying, it's a fantastic name. Luke de Pledge. What do you pledge will happen in this quiz?
I'm not really known for my mental strength, so I don't really know. I was confident when I messaged you, and now I'm not even sure whether I'm a Tottenham fan.
Connor, how are you feeling, mate?
I'm a bit thrown off by Luke's mind games there. He's got me questioning things now.
What, is there mind games playing here, or are you actually, you're both...
To be honest, I think after that pod, it was very philosophical generally, wasn't it? It's just got me questioning everything. And now Luke's coming in with, I don't know if I'm a Spurs fan. Yeah, all right.
Okay, tell us a bit about yourself, Luke. What, how long have you been following Spurs? How did you end up being Spurs before we get into this? Because we need to build some storylines between the two of you. We need to figure out what we're taking on between the two of you.
Our X Factor moments, yeah.
Indeed, yeah. Have you got anyone ill in your family that you want to tell us about?
I've been a Tottenham fan since birth from my dad, and I've been a season ticket holder since 2003.
Good. Everyone's healthy though, right?
Yeah, all good.
Good. Luke?
Yes.
Connor?
Yes.
Everyone healthy in your family?
Yeah, I hope so, yeah.
Fantastic. That's it. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to hit the quiz right now. Are you boys ready? Because it's happening.
Yeah, let's do it.
We've just got a statement from Leo, who produces the quiz. What I said, because every now and then I blame Leo for something that I've fucked up, and someone will blame him for getting a question wrong. So I've given him an opportunity before every quiz that we do to just make a statement, and I'll read it out. So he says, after Jimmy's passing comment in last week's pod that he had been practicing his nationalities, it appears the quiz has become a bit too predictable. There will be a few different style of questions today. No nationalities. Apologies to the two new challengers if you've been revising and preparing for this. You can blame Jimmy. May the best man win and probably lose to Jimmy next week.
About to get quizzical.
Quizzical?
Yeah. I mean?
Yeah.
Think man are smart.
Come with quiz.
Think man are big.
Come with quiz.
Think man are yeet with the knowledge for this. Prove that ish on the FC quiz. Think man are smart.
Hey, come with quiz.
Think man are big.
Come with quiz.
Think man are yeet with the knowledge for this. Prove that ish on the FC quiz.
Hey, come with quiz then, bruv.
Pussy.
Okay.
Wow.
Luke, you are challenger one. Connor, you are challenger two. Question
do
one.
I got in the second whistle.
But I mean, you're fucking up my flow. You can hear the dramatic moment. You're fucking up my flow here, mate. Right. On the first whistle. Who do I say? Luke. Right, you're first. Your question is, six players have played for Spurs and Chelsea in the Premier League. Can you name them?
William Gallas.
That's correct. Jesus, come on.
Giudicini.
Is correct.
You say six.
Yes, you've got two.
I'll give you three and one more if you need it.
I tell you what, if you can get more than Connor can get in his next question, then you get the point. But you got six. You got to get six. You got two. Okay.
It's a bad start, isn't it?
Right.
Hoddle
is incorrect. It's a Premier League era. Alright, okay. So how many did you get?
Two.
Alright, brilliant. Okay, let's move on to Connor. 13 players have played for Liverpool and Spurs in the Premier League. In name of fairness and equality, you only have to name six, although you have the option of 13.
Okay, Robbie Keane. Correct. Peter Crouch.
Yep.
Nick Barmby.
Yep. Three.
What else we got?
Cool.
Right,
you got three. You had the option of 13.
Yeah, it's different when you're here, isn't it?
Yep, it is. And there are people out there right now screaming answers saying, I could do better. You two were like this. Okay, mate, you've got 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. You're not going to get my...
Nah, done.
T or Rick, do you want to chuck in a couple?
For Chelsea.
Right.
No, Liverpool.
Liverpool, Rosenthal.
Yep.
Steve Scales.
Scales, you got?
Leonardson, Ziga.
The entire list was Corker, Leonardson, Barbie, Danny Murphy, Konchesky, Brad Friedel, Robbie Keane, John Scales, Peter Crouch, Ziga, Redknapp, Rosenthal, and Neil Ruddock. So what did you get? What was that? Three you got? So that's a point for you, Luke. Connor. Two, Luke. Who scored more goals for Spurs, Ginola or Rebrov?
I'm going to go Ginola.
Rebrov, it's got 16.
Oh.
It's got 14. That's zero out of two. Connor, who scored more goals for Spurs, Poligno or Cranchar?
Got to be Cranchar.
Cranchar's got 11, he's 2-0 up. Number three, Luke, we completed the double over Liverpool in the 2010-11 season. We won 2-1 at home in the first game. Can you name just one of the scorers?
Do you know what, Flav? I think I can.
Go on then.
Asu Okoto. No, it's the song.
No, both are wrong. The answer is Skirtle, an own goal, and Aaron Lennon.
Okay.
Sorry, mate. That's three on the bounce. You got wrong. Here we go. Number three. We beat Liverpool 2-0 at Anfield on the final day of the same season to complete the double. Can you name one of the scorers?
Oh, wow. What was the season again?
2010-2011.
I've got Gareth Bale.
Incorrect. It was Rafa van der Vaart and Luka Modric. Luke, who was the manager at the turn of the century, January 2000?
George Graham.
It's correct!
Oh, I can sleep tonight.
Well, you can't. That's one. Everyone like... All right, you can, you can. So, what, you 2-1 down? You indeed.
Yep.
All right, so number four. Who was the permanent manager before George Graham? Connor.
Christian Gross.
That's correct. That's 3-1. I think that might be it. It's over. But just to complete the quiz... Spurs players, Luke, who have won the BBC Goal of the Season award twice before. Who were they?
BBC Goal of the Season. Son.
That's correct.
And.
There are two more, you've got to get one.
Okay. Okay, Bale.
Well, Bale's just a name, that's not a specific goal, but. Is incorrect as well. Ali versus Palace, and Gascoigne won it in 1991 for his goal against Arsenal. Well played, mate. But again, when the lights are on, people fade. It's not your fault, mate. It's not your fault. Let's complete the quiz. sorry, we'll come back to you, see how you feel. Complete the quiz, Connor. Two Spurs players have won the PFA Player of the Year award. Who are they?
Gareth Bale.
Yep.
And David Ginola.
It's correct. That's three answers out of five. That's not bad, boys. That is not bad. Luke, I'm sorry. I don't know. What do you have to say?
Let myself down. Let my friends down. Let my family down.
Yeah. Yeah, you have. All right. That's been the... This has been the Fighting Cock podcast. This is, you've got to take it on now. Like you had a go, you come on. It's all good, Luke. Thank you so much for taking part. Connor has, he's pulled his balls out pretty much, hasn't he? And he's shown them around. And everyone's going and clapping, if anything. They're like just sort of good balls.
First time for everything.
Well, indeed. And I'd imagine you're quite confident going into... the facing Jimmy next week, because I'm not sure he got 3 out of 5. Maybe he did once. No, How did you do?
I think the last couple of weeks he's been crap.
Yeah, I mean he is crap. I mean that's fundamentally what this is about. What did you make of Connor's performance?
Did good. He's good. He's consistent. And I like what Leo did with the questions.
Yeah,
and because there are a few things I was preparing for that didn't come up last week, so.
Did you, how many was you? How many did you have got there, T?
I've got the Chelsea one.
Well, you got 1 out of 5? Maybe.
I reckon I've probably got 3 this week.
Okay. Lee, I want to say thank you so much for coming on, for posting your thoughts on Twitter. It's really, it's refreshing to see after all the kind of humdrum that you see there. Thanks for giving us your time. And,
my pleasure. Thank you very much.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you. Thanks for coming on. Rick, you've been just a wonderful little bundle of joy that I've known and loved for such a long time.
Ah, thank you, mate. Thank you. That's lovely.
All right. Goodbye, one and all. That has been the Fighting Call podcast, and up the Spurs.
Bye.
Podcast Network. Sports Social 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 Podcast Network.